Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell, so you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself?
Yeah, now, you may ask, hi there, I'm Carol the Coach. You might be asking, hey, how can that be? How, Carol, would you think that this man has self-esteem issues because he wants sex all over the country? Well, I have to admit, that was a stretch. I wasn't quite sure about that, but as I interviewed Russell and got to know him a little bit on the radio show, he said that he had an insatiable need for attention and affection. It's what made him feel good about himself. And when people have sex to get validation, to feel good about themselves, and to get that extra special attention, then I got to tell you, that always boils down to self-esteem. And I'm here to tell you that let me say that there are healthy ways to have your self-esteem boosted and there are unhealthy ways to have your self-esteem boosted. And when you live your best life, I guarantee you that you will actualize your potential. You'll recognize the strengths within, and you'll work harder and more diligently on doing what it takes to validate yourself. You know, so oftentimes people want other people to validate them, but that is not the way to develop a healthy self-esteem. You have to know deep within yourself that you have everything it takes to be a good person. Now, that can be terribly, terribly tough because oftentimes we've been groomed, if you will, to believe that if our coaches, our teachers, our parents, our husbands, our wives, our kids, if they tell us we're good enough, then we feel a notch better. Now, I got to ask you, if you were asked to come up with 5 words that describe who you are, your personality, your character strengths, could you do it right now? And I want the positive ones. That means I want to know, are you healthy? Are you loyal? Are you dedicated? Are you generous? So think about what 5 words best describes who you are, and feel free to call me at 646-595-3284. That is the call-in number. We're going to be talking tonight about how do you live your best life. You know, when I studied with Dr. Patrick Carnes, and I did module after module after module, and I learned about what is sexual addiction, and I learned about trauma reenactment, and I learned about how to intervene with families, I really learned about everything. And the last module was coaching. It was on how to increase your sense of self and what do you need to become healthier, to take your life to the next level and to live your dreams. Boy, I got to tell you, I work with people that don't have addiction, and that is a tough question. What do you need to do to live your dreams? So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Again, if you have a question, feel free to call me at 646-595-3284, and I will take your calls anonymously. You don't have to give your real name, and we'll just answer anything that you might have to ask, or you can always email me at carolthecoach@aol.com, and I will give you information that I think will be helpful. With this being such a technological era, you know, you don't have to be in the office. You can Skype and ask the kind of questions you want. You can download all the shows, all the Sex Help with Carol the Coach shows. And that is through iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. And you can email, you can text. My number is 317-847-2244 if you want to get a hold of me during the week. But tonight, if you have a question that you want to ask on the air, again, that is 646-595-3284. You know, I was talking with a man tonight who he has been struggling with his addiction, and we did some EMDR, that's eye movement desensitization, and we talked to him, I talked with him about what did he really want in his life, and how did his sexual addiction interfere with that? And he admitted that his fears about not being good enough correlated with his beliefs that sexual addiction kept him at a lesser level. And maybe you kind of wonder that too. If you're listening to the show, you may think, wow, I'm not living my true life. I don't particularly like the person I am, and I definitely am not actualizing my potential. So tonight, we're going to be talking about what that is. We are going to be taking your life to the next level, and that is so important. Now, you may say, oh, Carol, if I'm dealing with sexual addiction, I have to work on that first, and I agree, but tonight's going to be a preview of what you can look forward to and how you can incorporate healthy life skills into your daily routine. You know, I mean, right now I know your life isn't balanced. Much of your time and energy is preoccupied. You're thinking about how can you look at more pornography? How can you get a hold of more anonymous sex? What can you do that would allow you to voyeur or to expose yourself or to become an exhibitionist? And you know, if I took the addiction out of your life, we'd be looking at that balance of life. And I'd be asking you to pay attention to your needs. Now, what does that mean? Well, I always say that most people are moving way too fast, and they're running on automatic. I want to just ask you this. You know, addicts tend to be very self-absorbed and selfish. And They think of themselves first. However, you may be one of those addicts who puts everybody else first. So are you somebody who puts everybody else first, you don't meet your needs, and therefore you take care of yourself by meeting your sexual addiction needs on the fly, incognito? Or have you not gotten your needs met, and as an adult you've said, I am going to look for immediate gratification first and foremost? So ask yourself, do you take care of yourself first, or have you put everybody else on the back burner? And then I've got to tell you that most people that have a problem with identifying their needs, they multitask. Now, what I mean by multitask is they do two, three, or four things at the same time. Are you somebody who can be in the moment, or are you somebody who is constantly thinking of your next activity? That helps me to determine what you need to do to balance your needs. Because I got to tell you, the number one thing you can do when it comes to taking better care of yourself and actualizing your potential is, as you're listening to me tonight on the radio, or if you've downloaded the show, I want you to train yourself to concentrate in the now. And whenever you wander off, refocus on my voice and ask yourself, what is going on in my life this very minute? In other words, I want you to spend time thinking about this radio show and where you are in your life right now. Because I got to tell you, there are three things that will have a tendency to make you feel happier. One is staying in the moment. Two is having gratitude. And three is looking at your life and asking yourself, what can you learn from it? Finding purpose in your life. So, let's talk about your six needs right now. You know, I always say the individual is made up of emotional, social, intellectual, spiritual, physical, and purposeful needs. And if you were to create a pie, you know, a circle, and you divided your life into appropriate pieces of those needs, which need would be the largest, and which need would be the smallest? So I want you to draw a circle right now. Go ahead. I'll take a little bit of time. Go get a piece of paper and a pencil, and I want you to draw a circle as it reflects your current balance in your life. And think about this for a moment. How much of your life centers around family? How much of it centers around work? How much of your life centers around your recreation, your intellect, your social networking? How often do you take care of you? What do you do for fun, for recreation? All those things are very important. So divide that circle into pie pieces, and let's see what is the largest piece of the pie versus what is the smallest. And that will help us to determine how balanced is your life. Now, if we were going to look at the physical aspect of meeting your needs, I would have to say, do you listen to your body? Do you exercise? Do you get enough sleep? Do you eat right, and do you take your vitamins? Now, those are four very simple tasks. And if you're like the majority of people, you may say, I don't have time to exercise. Well, I got to tell you, you don't have time not to exercise. Because exercising obviously keeps you focused on taking control of your body in a healthy way. And sleep, why sleep is probably one of the most important fundamental needs that you have. Now, we've all heard that it takes, most people require 8 hours of sleep. Yeah, that was a statistic that was popular in the 70s, and I gotta tell you, hey, it's way different than that now. If you're getting 6 hours sleep a night, you're doing well. You heard me, 6 hours. Now, if you suffer from a sexual addiction, a lot of people actually spend the majority of their work week looking at pornography, and then their sleeping hours looking at porn. So, of course, that's going to interfere with your life, and that's going to mean you are not getting one of your fundamental needs met. And if you are operating in this world kind of in a half-day state, you're not doing yourself or anybody else any favors. Now, do you have a balanced day of rest, relaxation, and activity? Do you hug people? I know, sounds silly. But really, we do have that human need to touch and be touched. Now, from a sexual addiction standpoint, I am not talking about broaderism. I'm saying, who in your life are you comfortable enough taking care of and hugging and caring for them? Who do you let get that close to you? And last but not least, I got to ask you, do you go to the doctor? When something's wrong, do you work hard at making sure you ask the experts what it is that you need to do in your life? Did you know that when I did a survey on physical needs, that 80% of all people did not follow the directives of a doctor? You know, he said, take your prescription for 2 weeks. You took it for 8 days. He said, get more sleep, get up earlier, and get some exercise. Well, the best laid plans, maybe you got that done for the first 2 days, but you didn't create a structure that supported the changes. Now, I got to ask you, is there one activity in your life that you would like to incorporate into your day, put it on your schedule, and actually utilize every single day? Maybe that's power walking. Maybe that's tennis. Think about what it is that you would love to do if you had the time, and then we can talk about how can you get that done. What do you need to do to make that happen? again, if you're having any kind of questions about this situation, you know, how to incorporate goals into your daily routine, how to balance your needs, you can give me a call at 646-595-3284. Now, more often than not, people with sexual addiction have never had their feelings validated. And if you've listened to the show before, you know that I break it down into emotional needs and your five primary feelings. And that is anger, sadness, happiness, fear, and loneliness. And I got to tell you that all feelings fall under those five. And if we're talking to kids, we call it mad, sad, glad, afraid, and lonely. Those are the five emotional needs. And when I talk to addicts, I say, how do you feel? And they don't know. They haven't been able to identify what their primary needs are. So I want you to write down those needs. Anger, sadness, loneliness, fear, and happiness. And know that those are five primary feelings that you need to identify on a daily basis. Because it's important to honor your feelings. I was talking to an addict tonight that said, I don't understand why people say, I am needing to be mad. He said, no one needs that negativity in their life. And although I agreed, I also disagreed. Because what I know to be true is that you never want to stay stuck in feelings. However, you also want to honor your feelings. You don't want to ignore them and you don't want to suppress them. That's how you lived probably most of your childhood life. And if you don't honor your feelings, you don't have a good sense of who you are. To your childhood for a minute. I mean, let me ask you, who were some safe people that you could talk to about your feelings? And what did you do with your feelings? Did you implode? Or did you explode? In other words, as you can imagine, were you somebody who let all your feelings out? Or did you internalize them? That's really tough. So many people are taught to just repress their feelings and not to share them. And that's never healthy. Now, oftentimes, sharing feelings means that you have to get better with the communication. And there are basically four styles of communication. And you tell me which one this sounds like for you. Do you tend to be passive when you have thoughts, feelings, and beliefs? Do you choose not to express them? It's either not that important, you're afraid to. Well, that's passive. If you are passive, you tend to keep everything inside. Now, I got to ask you, the opposite of that is aggressive. When you share your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs, do you do it in a physical, emotional, or verbal way that hurts others? That's aggressive. And that's not healthy. Do you verbally hurt others? Do you physically get mad? Do you threaten people and intimidate them? All those are aggressive maneuvers to get people back. Then we have the last of the three unhealthy behaviors, and it's called passive-aggressive. That's when you don't deal directly with the person. You choose to go behind their back to get your way or to get them back. Now, addicts oftentimes, when they get really mad at their wives or their husbands, their kids or their boss, they'll get on the internet and they'll look at porn. They'll get on Craigslist and they'll call somebody. What do you do that may be passive-aggressive, that gets to the people that you love behind their back? Now, assertiveness is that fourth form of communication that means you're clear and direct about how you feel, what you think, and what you believe. Most people were not taught assertiveness in school. Their parents didn't teach them what assertiveness was. So I've got this simple formula, and it's easy to use. You can memorize the sentence, and it really helps to identify what behavior it is that you don't like, how you're feeling, and the innuendos, the messages that it sends you. So here's how it goes. Get out a piece of paper and a pen. The assertiveness formula is as follows. You start out with the person's name, and you say, Jim, when you blank, and that blank is the behavior, I feel, or I felt, the feeling, and if you remember from the past, it's one of those five feelings, mad, sad, glad, afraid, and lonely, or anger, sadness, loneliness, happiness, or fear. And then you let the person know, what was the message that it sent you? So with my husband, I may say, hey, honey, when you roll your eyes at me, I feel annoyed, which is angry, because the message you sent me is that you think I'm crazy. Now, I've actually said something very similar to that, and he very understandably said, honey, I don't think you're crazy. I've just heard that story 5 million times, which of course means that I've got to be more cognizant not to share the same stories over and over again because my husband is sick of hearing them. That makes sense to me. We just don't want anybody to not understand what it is when, here's how I should better say it. When you are not clear and direct about how you feel, it oftentimes means that you are assuming that they have certain perceptions that may or may not be true. And so when you're clear and direct about how you feel, what you need, and what you want, they get it. They get it totally. Okay. So it's about being clear and direct. Now, I got to tell you, most people shy away from conflict. I know what it is, but People are afraid to be clear and direct about how they feel, and as a result, they absolutely shy away from what's really going on inside of them. And so I teach people how to share their conflict. And that can be very helpful for a variety of reasons. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about what you need to do to share your conflict. You're listening to Carol Jurgensen Sheets. I'm Carol's coach, and we'll be back after the break.
Carol the Coach, sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach, compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just, for me, has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better, and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I am married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself?
All right, we are back with Sex Help with Carol the Coach, and I am so happy to be with you. We are talking about actualizing your potential and taking your life to the next level. And we were just getting ready to talk about conflict. And conflict is that thing that most people shy away from, unless they're overly aggressive. And then they don't shy away from it. They head into it full steam ahead. Now, I got to tell you that conflict is inherent in all relationships. And in healthy relationships, it breeds intimacy. But in unhealthy relationships, it can create and cause a lot of chaos. And boy, some of you may have grown up in very chaotic families where there was a lot of abuse and a lot of mistrust. You didn't have adults in your life that you trusted at all. But you get to determine how you're going to respond to people. And I want you to realize that conflict is normal and it is necessary. 90% of all conflict can be dealt with in a very healthy way. So I'm going to talk to you about the four tools of conflict. And the first thing that I want you to know is that when you deal with conflict, you need to ask yourself, what did I do to contribute to the conflict? Now, that can be difficult to own up to. How did I contribute to this problem? Now, I'm a believer that we're 100% responsible for our conflict. But in this scenario, when someone's mad at you or angry, I want you to say, okay, how did I contribute to it? and then quietly say to yourself, okay, 10% of the conflict is about me, and 90% of the conflict is about the other person. In other words, don't take it on. Then tool number two is to say, you know what, this is not about me. This is about the other person. And when you do that, you don't say that out loud, but you say it to yourself so that you don't overly personalize the problem. I want you to have the art of Teflon, which means you just imagine that whatever the conflict is, after you've asked how you contributed to it, you then say to yourself, okay, I am not the problem. Therefore, tool number three is, I won't give anybody the power to make me feel blank. And when you do that, and that's a quote directly from Eleanor Roosevelt, you're basically saying, I'm not going to give anybody the power to make me feel bad about myself. And that is always very, very helpful. And tool number four is to say to yourself, I'm going to have faith in one of three things. I'm going to have faith in myself that I can work it out. Faith in my relationship that will be strong enough to weather the storm. Or faith in a higher power that, gosh, I can let go, let God, and feel better about myself. Okay, now, can you use those four tools of conflict so that you don't feel so bad when your wife is angry with you or your boss is complaining or your kids are ignoring you? If you can't, then maybe we need to look at your self-esteem. Now, you have to be able to know what your character strengths are. And remember, at the top of the show, I said, what are five things that you like about it yourself? Are you generous? Are you dedicated? Are you tenacious? Are you loving? Are you caring? Knowing who you are is crucial to having good self-esteem. But unfortunately, many of us did not feel good about ourselves because of childhood messages that we got as a child. So you've got to be able to replace the negative self-talk with positive, kinder, gentler messages. And I got to ask you, when you've made a mistake or when you feel like you've missed something or maybe you didn't handle a situation properly, did you give yourself permission to have absolutely not known exactly what you should have done? Because I'm telling you, not only is it important for you to notice what you're good at and what your positive strengths are, it's also important for you to be gentle and kind with yourself. You got to use your resiliency skills. And they interviewed 20,000 people who said they were happy. And all 20,000 people came up with three things that they felt helped to make them happy. One was, and this is important, they stayed in the moment. Two is they looked at what was working as opposed to what wasn't. They had gratitude. And three is that they reframed. And reframing is the art of seeing the positive in any situation. It actually helps you, when you reframe, to say, I am not going to be a victim. I'm going to ask myself, what did I learn from this situation? And more importantly, what do I need to grow stronger from this situation? Now, I got to ask you, can you think of one negative message as an addict that you chronically tell yourself? It may have to do with your education, your appearance, your ability, or your relationship. More importantly, I'd like to know, hey, what is it that you can say to yourself that actually identifies what you're good at, how you feel, and what you need to learn? That's right. That is what is so important. You have to be able to identify your strengths and what it is that you can actually say that's a kinder message to yourself. And, of course, I ask you, hey, do you know what your purpose is in life? Because when you know what your purpose is, then oftentimes you feel good about what it is you actually need to do to feel meaningful. I mean, how do you contribute to the lives of others? And how do you make a difference in the lives of not just your loved one and your family, but also in the community? We're going to take a break. We've got a little technical difficulty, and we will be right back.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Anything. Don't even hesitate to talk about anything here on the show. And if you have a question and you want to talk about anything, I am available at 646-595-3284. You know, we're talking about purpose, because purpose in your life is when you know that you make a difference, you count, and you contribute. Now, it doesn't have to be anything huge, really. You know, for some people, creating a purpose is participating in a Sunday school class. For others, it may be your kind words that you say to your neighbor or your coworker or your sister's friend. You know, are you unconditional, forgiving, compassionate, or supportive? And has there always been something in your life that you wanted to contribute or do, and you didn't know exactly how you were going to make that happen? if there were no barriers or obstacles in your life and the sky was the limit, what would you be doing to make a difference in this world? Wow, that can be a tough one. I'm here to tell you that every person possesses a special talent or a gift. And they just have to be real aware of what that is. That can be tough. But think about it. Oftentimes, whatever special gift you may possess, you've had it since you were a very young child. That's right. And I got to tell you, it is so important for you to put yourself first and stimulate yourself. And that's why we're going to be talking about intellectual needs. What do you do to stimulate your intelligence? Do you read, take classes, write, belong to a group? Do you teach? What is it that takes your life to the next level? And then probably the most important part of that circle is your spirituality. I mean, spirituality may be many things to many people. It may be church, it may be religion, it may be your relationship with a higher power. I mean, do you read, meditate, pray? Do you honor the universe, God, or a higher power? Do you enjoy the moment? Notice the flowers? Trust in something greater than yourself? That is what is so important when you're identifying what your spiritual needs are. When you sit and listen, you become a conduit for spirituality. So the number one thing you can do to enhance spirituality is decrease your activity level and build your spirituality by just listening. And when you live in the moment and appreciate your life, you increase your spirituality. And when you have a spiritual connection, well, let me just say, it gives you an opportunity to feel stronger, to feel clearer than you do by yourself. Now, so oftentimes, it can be very difficult when you're in pain and you want so very badly to work through an addiction. And I want to tell you that you have to be able to reach out to others. Are you in a 12-step group where you don't feel so alone? Do you have a social life separate from your work and your family? Are you part of a group of people that you can share anything with? And more importantly, are you a giver or a taker? Can you receive? Do you ask for what you need? Or are you somebody who always has to rescue people? You always put others before yourself. Research has shown that you'll be healthier and happier if you have connections with others. Use your intellect and emotions and intuitions to problem solve. Depersonalize conflict and use resiliency skills. So as we end for tonight, I would ask you to think back to what your seven basic needs are. And here we go. They're emotional, physical, social, intellectual, purposeful, and spiritual. In conjunction with family, What are your five primary feelings? They're anger, sadness, loneliness, fear, and happiness. How can you communicate? Well, there's many ways to communicate, but I want you to be assertive as opposed to passive or aggressive or passive aggressiveness. And what is that formula for assertiveness? Well, we all know it's that sentence that says, blank, when you blank, I feel blank because the message it sends me is blank. Now, it's important, if you're going to work on your self-esteem, that you really be gentle with yourself, know your strengths, reframe, and stay resilient. Because you are so important. And I always say at the end of every radio show that I want you to remember that there'll only be one of you for all time. So you fearlessly have to have the courage to be yourself. And again, that can be tough. So before we end the show, I am going to check in with a caller and ask what question you might have in regards to all these life skills you've learned tonight. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Tell me what resonated with you. What did you think of tonight's show?
Well, Carol, to be honest, everything. You pretty much covered everything that I need to work on. I mean, my communications are a sore need of being worked on, and my needs are not met. I live my life basically as a more survival than I'm really enjoying it, and that's where the addiction seems to numb the pain. I think that, yeah, everything you talked about tonight has resonated with me completely.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that, because this is actually taking your life to the next level, and I don't know where you are in your addiction. Are you in recovery, or are you considering being in recovery?
I've been in a SA group for 3 years now, and I'm also in an ACA group. That's been about 6 months, so I guess I am in recovery. I struggle, but I'm in recovery.
And for some of our listeners who are just, you know, starting to listen to the show, describe the difference between those two types of fellowships.
Okay, SA is Sexaholics Anonymous. It focuses on sexual addiction. ACA is Adult Children of Alcoholics. It's adult children of alcoholics and dysfunctional families. The difference is with ACA, you go a little bit deeper into family of origin issues and things of that nature than you would in SA. If you do in SA, I think it's with a sponsor more than the group itself.
Well, and you know, so many of the sex addicts that I work with do have issues because they had parents that were alcoholics. So as they've grown up and become adults, they have issues that continue to carry forward that aren't going to change unless you create that fellowship that helps you to work on specific issues like the need to please or putting yourself on the front burner instead of the back burner or practicing assertiveness. So I so appreciate the fact that you go to two 12-step meetings.
Thank you. Yeah, they're a really big help to me, the fellowship, to reach out to other people, to not isolate. We always say that the phone is like a 50-pound weight sometimes, but once I pick up that phone and connect with somebody or, hey, let's go out for lunch or something, just to get out of my head and get out of myself, to contact my sponsor, to make that connection is amazing. To feel safe enough to do that, and to someone I know who's going to listen and understand and care and validate my feelings.
Can I ask you, in terms of your sex addiction, was this an addiction that you believe started early on in your childhood, or is this something that you that occurred as a maladaptive form of dealing with the stress of being an adult?
It actually, for me, it started in childhood. I had rampant sexual feelings, and I started to act them out when I was in my teens, and I knew that something wasn't right, but I couldn't put my finger on it. When I was having problems trying to sleep, to get that 6 hours, 8 hours, whatever, being late for work, being late for it, it started very young. I can say that much.
Very good. And so obviously you have been paying attention to the different types of shows on Blog Talk Radio or through iTunes. How'd you hear about the show?
I just did a Google search, and I found it via the Google search. I did a search for Sex Addiction Podcast, and there it was.
Very good. I appreciate you listening. We have to end the show, but at any point, if you want to call back, I would encourage you to do that. If you ever want to share your story, feel free to get a hold of me at carolthecoach@AOL.com, and we can interview you, and then you can help other people. So I appreciate your call tonight, and keep listening to the show.
I will do that.
All right. You take care, and God bless.
God bless. Thank you, Carol.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, as you can see, people want to get healthier. They want to get better, and there's all sorts of ways to do that. There's a lot of reading material. There's meetings. And there's radio shows just like this. So I'm going to end the show with saying, hey, there's only going to be one of you at all times. I want you to fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. Now, next week, we're going to be interviewing a guest. And I really invite any of my listening audience to call into the show. And if they want to share their story, they can do so anonymously, because what we know is when you share your story and you help one person, you're really helping a whole community. All right, we'll see you next week on Monday evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for more Sex Help with Carol the Coach. I'm Carol Jurgens and Sheets, and thanks for listening tonight. Have a great week.